Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers. KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. Now, this is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
What up, Baytown? Hey, are you ready for some football? Your Texans might have a draft pick tonight or two. Who knows? But who cares? So far, not so good. They haven't had a pick yet, but the NFL draft, first round, already there to be talked about. Aaron Rodgers is still a Green Bay Packer, Nick.
I knew you were going to mention that.
Because it was the gift that just wouldn't stop giving to me yesterday and last night.
Be careful, man. You don't know what the truth is in that damn story yet. You don't want to be surprised
all,
this weekend.
I do know more, because I do have a lot of people back home that are in the know.
Really? So you got sources in Green Bay?
I just know enough people that know people that in talking to them, there's a lot of truth to the fact that he has issues with the front office. But that, again, like we said, depending on who you talk to, it was mostly players that he said he didn't know if he was ever going to play again.
And that's something we brought up on the show yesterday. We were like, who are the people that he spoke to?
Right, right. So that's part of it. But I was glad he wasn't moved. I think we have some of the audio. But when you listen to Gutekunst talk, they're going to have to do some butt kissing, and they're going to have to do some player acquisitions that appease him, but I think they can work it out. But then, can I just ask, what did you do last night, Nick?
I tried to watch the first round with a buddy of mine.
Yeah.
When we got to the spot, they refused to put the audio on the speaker because apparently people pay for like this jukebox on their apps, and because they pay for it, they can't turn down the music and listen to it. So the draft honestly was a much worse experience for me than I wanted to. Plus I was talking to my buddy Jared and other friends started coming on. So I didn't enjoy the draft as much as I wanted.
And that's all fine, because with the Astros game out of the way, being a day game, and by the way, overkill times 100, no one needs the draft on the NFL Network, ESPN, and ABC all simultaneously.
Too many platforms.
No one needs that. No one.
I mean, I guess it gives you options in the event you don't have one or the other. I mean, I guess that's the reason why they're doing it. I don't know if it kind of like dilutes the numbers in the event that you have multiple platforms streaming the same thing, but maybe they felt it was necessary. I don't know. I guess we'll just have to wait for the ratings in that regard, but I thought that was interesting as well.
Yeah, but I was dialed into the draft, and so I had it on. And you know what? As I always joke with you about, when a tree falls in the woods and no one's there to see it, did it actually happen? Evidently, it did, because whether you've been booby-trapped or not, when you go for a 50-piece for your Houston Rockets,
mm-hmm,
and they beat the Milwaukee Bucks,
yep,
what the hell happened there?
I mean, look, it's all about consistency. I love the fact that he got 50 points. I think he's like the youngest NBA purse player in history to have 50 points and 10 assists.
Yep.
Just keep it consistent, buddy. Like, if I don't expect you to throw 50 on the next game, but keep it consistent. And guess what? Maybe they start looking at you as a more important piece for this roster.
Well,
obviously way too early.
Rosetta is looking at him already and telling people in the organization he's the next James Harden. Now, I haven't seen enough 50 pieces for me to say he's the next James Harden.
Right.
But I do think that, again, this is why the booby trap bothered me so much. He has shown enough basketball ability-wise, and I give them total credit for not only making the pick, the trade to go get him, but then to have John Lucas and a support system that was keeping him out of harm's way until the booby trap. But he looks like he's going to be a piece in the next 3 years for this franchise going forward. Don't screw it up. From his perspective, don't screw up. From their perspective, don't screw it up. And this is why it bothered me so much, because the kid's got talent. Charlie and I, if you remember, argued about this. He didn't think that KPJ could ever be a James Harden or a Russell Westbrook or a go-to guy on the team. And one, I said, I'm not saying he's going to be, but he's a rotational piece. He's already shown me enough that I believe he's that. And Charlie fought me on that.
Uh-huh.
But the thing that was bigger for me was, who says he can't be eventually, maybe if he's not Batman, maybe he's Robin, maybe he's the third piece, maybe he's the fourth piece. It doesn't matter. He's got talent. That's why it bothered me so much that this happened, because I want this kid to keep his nose clean and just let him see what he can do.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, I'm kind of happy it happened earlier rather than later. He's able to move on from it. He got the $50,000 fine. I think he's going to learn from it. If you didn't, you're either going to learn from it or you're not. Some people make a mistake like that. They don't care. They make the mistake again and again and again. If he continues to play well, maybe he'll earn a little bit more of a leash like some of these stars do when they make mistakes. That's not what I want from him. I want him to continue to evolve. And the other thing is, he's still evolving from a like body maturation standpoint. I mean, he still needs to fill out a little bit. He still needs to develop a little bit. So this may be 2 or 3 years before you really see him be that rotational piece that you speak of. But he has all the potential in the world, and that's not a guy that you move on from. So now you got at least two pieces, Joel, that you really don't want to move on from, right? Christian Wood would be one of them.
Sure.
And Porter Jr. would be another. Hopefully they both evolve into something good, and you get the right assets to get more players on this roster. That's the whole goal. But when I looked up and I saw that score up against the Bucks, I was like, what is going on here? 143 points? Did not expect that.
I texted my buddy from the Bucks and said, I'm just going to admit this to you. I didn't watch. I was dialed into the Rodgers stuff in the draft. But what the hell happened? How do you let him get 50? And literally, Milwaukee needs every win because they're still fighting for a better record than Philly and Brooklyn and trying to get up, because it's going to be a big deal in the second round and beyond. And then I realized, oh, Giannis tweaked his ankle early in the first quarter in the first couple minutes and didn't play the rest of the game. But nonetheless, you should still have enough talent on that roster, just like Brooklyn's done with all their guys, two of the three guys being out most of the time, between KD, Harden, and Kyrie. You have enough talent on that roster in the Bucks. You should have won that game.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they're without a doubt, they're not just more talented than the Rockets. They're significantly more talented than the Rockets. It's no. And look, I talked about this. I said they're probably going to win one game that they're not supposed to win. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, yeah, we did both. And so, look, it might happen. It's basketball. You're going to find a team that's probably ranked one or two in the East or West, and they go up against a team that's ranked 9 or 10 in the East or West, and then they lose. It happens.
Easy to look past them. Easy to take it for granted. No question about
that. Play down to their level.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I'm not crapping on the Rockets for winning. I'm crapping on the Rockets for not losing, because we know how important it is to make sure that you just have that 52% chance of keeping your own pick by getting one of those ping pong balls. This is it. I'm drawing the line. Okay, you beat the Bucks and you get a pat on the back, and it's a good team win. Now, can we just lose the rest of them so that we have the best chance possible of keeping that pick?
I mean, I guess. I mean, it's going to be hard. First of all, you got to be very careful how you approach your teammates and say something like that. That's number one. Number two, a guy like Porter Jr. is too young and wants to prove himself. So it's kind of hard, especially when he gets that hot hand, or if the shots start falling early. They're not thinking about losing the game at that point. They're just not.
But let me ask you this. So the other thing that was interesting to me, and this came out the other day, and he's holding true to this. Christian Wood's coming out saying he wants to play through this 3-year deal so that it sets him up for being a max player in 2 more years. Do you see Christian Wood, whether here or otherwise, turning into a max player?
I think it's possible. It's possible, but he has to. He has to up his consistency and his points per game, and he has to up his assists. He has to up a lot of stats. Then, yeah, he could potentially earn them, because even if he does get that max contract, he may not be deserving of it, but it goes up to a max contract because there's teams that are willing to pay, and then he earns the negotiating leverage. So, yeah, I think it's possible. I'm not saying it will happen, but I think it's very much possible. You don't think it's like you think it's impossible?
I just don't.
And that's fair. I mean, there's nothing wrong with saying that. I mean, it's way too early to tell. But when you look at the money that's being thrown away in the TV deals, it's just I wouldn't be shocked. How about that? I'll put it that way for you.
I think if Christian Wood is a max player on your team, it's like when I always said about if Chris Middleton is a max player as your second best player, you're a good team and you're never going to be a great team. If Christian Wood is one of your max players, I don't think you're going to be a championship caliber team. I think that you're missing that's missing something. Not to say that he's – I'm not taking anything away from him as a player.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that's in terms of the pecking order of the NBA, how it normally plays out. Your top line guys are guys like AD, LeBron, Kawhi, Paul George, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons type guys. Your guys, your top guys are not Chris Middleton or Christian Wood.
Yeah. Well, and maybe in 3 years he doesn't prove to be a super max player, but a good player, and that way the Rockets could give him a fair deal, but nothing too outrageous. Maybe it's a situation like that. Maybe another star comes on the team. Who knows? I mean, it's still early to tell, and he's super young too, so now, I don't know.
And I called him KPJ this time. Now, Jesse called me out on that and said, what happened to Scoots? He gets 50, and now he's KPJ. No, Jesse, I said that on the air, they said he sent an email to the guys that said, you can call me KPJ, or you can call me Scoots. So we call them both. It's not a slight on Scoots.
Right.
He's still our dude. We're still looking out for him. And he's still...
I don't like Scoots too much, though. I'm not a big fan of the Scoots.
I think the last time I was talking about Scoots, it was either what my dog had, where you had to go see the vet and have the anal glands relieved, my daughter had the Scoots, and then you got to change a diaper.
Oh, no. That's your fault for being a parent, buddy. I tell you this all the time. Don't. Kids are terrible. They're the devil.
Can I ask you a question on that?
What?
Am I a bad parent, Nick? And all you boxers, you can tell me this, all right? I want to know if I'm a bad parent or not, because I got home yesterday, and you know how mom goes over the top. Mom is like, hey, I think Maddie's sick. And I'm like, why do you say that? Well, she's kind of irritable. And I was like, okay. But she goes, you should take him to the park. I go, okay. So I took him to the park. And she's playing in the sandbox, and she's having a good old time, and Taylor's having a good old time. And we get home, and yeah, she gets a little irritable, but I took her temperature, and it was 98. And I'm like, she doesn't have a fever. So I am old school like my parents, which is, you're going to school tomorrow, unless you got a fever. And we're just not going to act like we're going to baby her. And of course, protective mom is like, we should keep her home tomorrow. We should really just, and I'm like, no, because she doesn't have symptoms or irritable. She's ornery. She's my kid. It doesn't mean that she's sick.
Yeah.
So this morning, and Lisa's texting me, and I just stopped. I'm just not going to respond. I pretend like I had my phone down because I'm like, nope. I know why she's calling, because she's calling and texting to say, keep Maddie home today. And I took her temperature, and it was 98. And so I was like, all right, let's go. I took Taylor to school first because I was like, if she really gets out of hand, I may consider changing my mind. I pulled up at the school. I go, Maddie, you want to go to school? She nodded her head. I opened the car door and said to the principal, she was a little irritable, but she doesn't have a temperature. She goes, nah, we'll call you if there's a problem. I go, boom, back to school you go.
Done.
Because that's the way I was brought up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then I called Lisa back. And I said, no, I dropped her off. I'm not doing this.
Yeah. All right. But problems of parents. I wish I could feel your pain, but I can't. I'm sorry.
Were you one of those guys that mailed it in and did the fake sick all the time and missed school?
Oh, yeah. I did that all the time. But my parents were cool in that regard. I'd be like, man, I ain't going to school today. They're like, all right.
My mom was cool with it. If my dad was home, nope. You get your butt in there and get dressed and go to school.
Don't you feel like a winner as a parent, though, when you're like, you know what? You're not learning today. You're hanging out with me. I think that's cool. I mean, people do it with baseball games all the time, with day games, you know? They don't want to – sometimes they just want to enjoy some time. I was fortunate enough to have parents that were cool enough in that regard, but I didn't really miss that much time in school anyway, so.
Like, my mom was the coolest lady on the planet, and she basically raised five or six of the kids in the neighborhood that had single parents or whatever. But my dad was no nonsense. My dad was like, unless you are like – coughing up a lung and you got a 101, you can go to school.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, so I sent Maddie to school and I don't feel bad about it. But I will say this. It was like, I was thinking about it going, should I roll the window down before I pull up? Because, you know, the kids still have to take a temperature check before they go into school.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. I had a little apprehension driving up the driveway to the school going, now, if I drop her off and it says 100 and some, then I look like a bad dad. So maybe I should try and cool her off a little bit. But she got out and I'm sitting there going, please.
I don't think you're a bad dad. I mean, if she's 98 degrees, I mean, it's...
Well, but I didn't know. So then they pull the thermometer out, the digital one, and I'm going, please, 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 please. And she checks. She goes, oh, Joel, she's at 97.9. I go, boom.
The box, great. Baby.
So I was like, okay, well, maybe people think I'm a bad parent, but I wanted her to go to school.
No, you're not a bad parent. I'll tell you what, you're a bad person if you don't buy this pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah.
The Andy Ruiz, Chris Cerriola pay-per-view, and it's the Destroyer is what they called him. And you got to check out his Instagram or his Twitter. I forgot where I saw the picture, but he had an absolute transformation with his body. He's the one that got that big upset win and was much bigger. Now he's kind of lost weight and taking this a lot more seriously. So Andy the Destroyer Ruiz Jr., he'll be facing Chris the Nightmare Areola, and they're arguably the two best Mexican heavyweights in boxing, period. They'll be on Fox Sports PBC pay-per-view. That's the main event. The pay-per-view is an all-Mexican boxing extravaganza with three pay-per-view undercard matchups featuring exciting all-action toss-up fights. There'll be a two-hour prelim show. There will be a two-hour prelim show with the Cuban star Erlandi Lara and Thomas Lamana, and it begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time. The pay-per-view begins at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Time, and it's priced at $49.99. How do you buy it? Go to foxsports.com/pay-per-view. foxsports.com/pay-per-view. It'll be $49.99. Order the pay-per-view today.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Well, just throw this out there for you kids because you know that we are dog people, Nick included. Today is National Adopt-A-Shelter Pet Day, so let's...
Is it really?
Yeah.
I've been thinking about getting another dog, man.
Well, today would be one of the days to do it, as it is National Shelter Pet Day. But we always appreciate those that rescue and do things for dogs and cats and animals. So there you go.
Did you see that picture I sent you of that pit bull with the hanging... It looked like the dog's nipple was just hanging loose. Did you see that picture I sent you?
That was a while ago, wasn't it?
What causes that?
I don't know, man.
I mean, you're the dog expert. It was the weirdest thing ever.
Bro, some of the pictures you send me, I'm not a vet, and I didn't stay at a Holiday Inn Select last night. I got no freaking clue what causes that. It just looks funky as hell. But if you're looking for answers, you're coming to the wrong guy.
I'm going to tweet it out. Now, the person,
she called it something else, by the way.
I can't say that on the air.
Right.
I don't even know if I could say that on Twitch, but what I called it. And I kind of promised my friend not that I wouldn't tweet it out.
Oh, no, you should do it then.
But I'm totally going to tweet it out.
Yeah, see, that's who you are.
Let me just find it. And it's the weirdest dog nipple I've ever seen in my entire life. It's so weird. And I've never seen a dog like that. And then she gets mad when I make fun of it. But it's hilarious. It's hilarious. Have you ever seen a loose dog nipple like that before?
No.
None of your dogs had that issue?
No.
Now, I know, dogs, their a-holes can, fall out sometimes, and then they need surgery.
See, I don't know where you went with that and how you got to that point, but I've never heard that, and I don't want to hear that.
No, they do.
Their a-holes can fall out?
They literally fall out.
Where did you hear that? Where did you get this fallacy?
It's common. It's a common thing.
It's common.
Yeah.
It's not possible. It's probable or common?
I know for a fact that this has happened before.
Okie doke.
And then they do the surgery, and they have to get that same little cone thing that they get when they, they get the same little cone thing after the surgery, so they don't lick their, their a-hole.
Man.
I'm trying to find this picture.
I have not heard
that. I texted it to you and Barry, right?
That was a while ago, yeah. Yeah, so what were your takeaways from the draft last night?
Well, the biggest thing, what did you think about the Mac Jones, the Patriots thing?
First of all, I thought he looked like when his name was finally called. Didn't he look like a financial advisor late for lunch? He just kind of, he's got kind of the dad bod in a suit.
Yeah.
And then he kind of was doing this fast walk scamper. And I thought, what's he late for to get back on the market to try and make some people some money?
Now that you say it, completely
out of place.
Completely.
But it fell right in the Patriots' lap. They thought they were going to have to trade up. They thought they were going to have to do all this maneuvering. Belichick even said at a certain point, if our guy's there, we might have to do something. And then it just all... just typical Patriot stuff. It all falls into place, and they get their guy without having to do a single damn thing.
Well, God, it's – and who do we give credit to? Do we still give credit to Bill Belichick?
No, I think that's just the luck of the draft.
You think so?
Yeah. And I think with teams moving up and what they were after, and it wasn't what, you know, and then they, and from a Belichick standpoint, too, you're smart enough to look and go, well, they don't need a quarterback. Well, they don't need a quarterback. So I don't have to worry about trading or worried about them taking our guy. Now it's a matter of, is someone else going to try and make a trade to move up as well? But I give the Bear. I'm going to say this slowly, Nick, at one time only.
I'm going to record this. It's rolling. We're rolling tape.
I give the Bears credit for what they did last night.
Oh,
the fact that they saw an opening. I don't understand why Denver took Surtain. Denver got their one-year bridge quarterback, no pun intended, in Teddy Bridgewater. If they really, I guess they must have a belief in Drew Lock. Because otherwise, you could have had Justin Fields with your own pick.
Man, I didn't understand that either. And that's exactly what I was telling my buddy Jared when I was like, why? Like, you really believe, like, you're that high on Drew Jones? Like, do you really?
Drew Lock.
Yeah. Like, Drew Lock's? Like, do you really believe that's going to be the guy for you? Like, and maybe he does and we're all wrong, but there's no indication up until this point that says he's going to evolve into that.
No.
That's the problem. And then they don't take a quarterback. And I'm telling my buddy, he's like, nah, man, that's not a bad, you know, you have to give some people time. Maybe you do, but. But how do you think Bill Belichick should approach the quarterback situation considering they signed Cam Newton to a one-year deal?
It's a one-year deal. So Cam starts the year as the starter, and then you start evaluating when you start going to camp and everybody's getting their reps, and you're looking at what you're seeing from each guy. And look, I thought Cam might be good there last year, and he was awful.
Yeah.
And I didn't think there was any way he was coming back, and now he is. So they get the luck of the draw to have a quarterback fall into the guy they evidently wanted that's very Brady-esque. Falls right in their lap. I don't think from day one he should be the starter, because no matter how well he reads defenses and how good he played at Alabama, this is the NFL.
Yeah.
And I think that there is kind of a transition period for every guy that where he has to kind of get his feet wet. But I think now, as opposed to last year when you were talking about Jared Stidham, if Cam goes down, you were more apprehensive about making a change. Now, this is a guy that you have now labeled and committed to by taking him in the first round as your quarterback of the future. So if that's the case, no matter how long a future that is, now you've got a guy that, based on your evaluations as camp begins, you can draw the conclusions of he's not going to be ready till midseason. But if he starts showing signs and Cam slips up at all, I'm making the change.
Yeah, and look, we were trying to find an excuse for Cam Newton and saying, look, he needed a year to learn the offense, and maybe he shows improvement early on because he learned the offense. And I think, even if Cam Newton wins the first 2-3 games out of the first 4 or 5 games, like, let's say he does well, I'm still not necessarily keeping him as the quarterback, because you don't know how much Mac Jones can learn under him, how much he's been able to, like, read defense, learn the system in just 3 or 4 games. You'd be surprised.
Yeah, but the only thing I'll throw as a caveat to that, Nick, is if they're playing well, if they're winning football games, And how much winning and making the playoffs and all those kind of things mean when Belichick knows Brady won a Super Bowl elsewhere, I think that's the caveat where if they're winning football games, he's going to stick with Cam, because it means a lot this year. To 1 year, okay, but if he goes 2 years without making the playoffs and Brady won a Super Bowl and he at least competes for another one, deep in his soul, that hurts. I think that's the key. If they're winning, he'll stick with Cam. If they're losing and Cam's not playing well, then I think you'll see Mac Jones.
Well, see, my fear with that is I think you've got a situation where I think Cam Newton does well early on, right? Just like last year. I feel like, man, Cam Newton's doing good at the beginning, but they really need to diversify the offense, and I'm not sure Cam Newton is available. Now that he's got 1 year under the belt learning the offense from Bill Belichick, maybe he starts off hot again, and now you're saying, well, I can't bench Cam Newton. Look, he's winning games. But in the event that he starts losing, do you pull the trigger, or do you just keep it there and maybe he plays out of the situation? I don't know. I mean, I'm a type of guy, if you're going to learn, you just got to be thrown in the mix and get the reps. Don't be thrown in the mix and get the reps. I obviously wouldn't lead with Mac Jones, but at some point you got to throw him in there and just see what happens when he gets thrown to the wolves like that. You know what I mean? Because it helps.
Of the 5 quarterbacks, who's going to do the best right away? Right away.
I'm going to stick with the Jaguars pick. Trevor Lawrence is probably going to be the
best. Are you?
Yeah.
See, I don't think there's enough around him. I think that, if I look at it, I think that Mac Jones is going to be the guy that I would bet on to do the best.
Good, right?
I don't think, because I don't think roster wise the Jets or the Jags have enough around him. I don't think that I think Jimmy Garoppolo is going to play for another year for the Niners. I think that because it's Trey Lance, because I think he has some ridiculous number like 310 snaps in his college career.
Uh-huh.
That's not nearly enough. We were talking about it before the show. That's like for Texans fans that didn't think the sample size was big enough on Brock Osweiler. I don't think that I'm not taking any shots at Trey Lance's athleticism or the potential to possibly be really good someday. But I don't think he's ready to start in the NFL when he played one college game last year and only had 300 snaps in college. I think that that's why Jimmy G's not going anywhere, and that's why Jimmy G's so important for at least one more for them under contract, because the rest of that roster, as we talked about, is Super Bowl contender ready.
Yeah, another interesting situation that a coach is going to have to make a decision. And I don't know. Look, we talked about Jimmy Garoppolo yesterday, and I said if he's healthy, I like the guy. I'm not saying he's an amazing quarterback, but if he's healthy, which is very difficult to do because he just hasn't been able to stay healthy. And I think that ACL where he didn't slide, that really messed with him. I don't know if it's the ACL or maybe the other injuries after that, but I felt like when he made that mistake going out of bounds that first or second year and he tore his ACL, that really might have messed with his head. I like him when he's healthy. I don't know if he'll ever get back to the Jimmy Garoppolo that we've seen before. You can say that the help that he had around him did benefit him. There's no question about it. But I'm not a guy that necessarily gives up on a Jimmy Garoppolo. Particularly, there's other guys on teams like the Broncos that we mentioned. I'm not sold on a guy like Drew Lock. I'm just not.
No, but here's my thing.
I'm keeping my doors open.
So of the five guys
that
were drafted last night, Fields is the only other guy because the rest of the roster is Super Bowl ready. So you've got an offensive-minded coach in Nagy. Nagy's going to do his best, but he's even said Fields isn't going to start from day one. They made the commitment to Andy Dalton. They're sticking with that. So there's another guy that's not going to play. So, I mean, fair or not, my answer is Mac Jones because I think he has the best chance of getting on the field with a decent team around him to actually do some things as opposed to Wilson and Lawrence and are going to take some lumps, and the other guys I don't think are going to see the field. And I think from a Chicago perspective, the other reason why I give them such a compliment for moving up to do that is it's the Bill O'Brien syndrome. It's what we talked about when O'Brien was here. I don't care what I had to give up to get what I needed because I may not be here when those picks become available. So I'm going to throw the kitchen sink at you if it means I can get a guy that can save my ass and save my job.
I can totally see that. And that normally happens when the coach thinks he's at the end of his tenure. It definitely happens like that. And most coaches know. Most coaches know when that's going to happen. And the Justin Fields situation, I think I saw a story where Nagy was like teaching him the offense prior to the draft. And now Justin Fields thinks he fits the Bears offense absolutely perfectly. So I don't know how long it'll take for Justin Fields to play, but I kind of want to see him. You know, considering the whole seizure situation, I hope that doesn't get in the way. There was a listener that tagged me on Twitter yesterday, says, man, you can absolutely get through it. I've had seizures since I was a little kid, and I can absolutely get through it. So I hope that's the case, because I did say on the air, like, if I was the owner of a team or if I was the head coach of a team, I know it sounds cruel and harsh to Justin Fields. I might pass on a situation like that. I'm in fear of situations like that. You don't know. That's a very unpredictable type of situation. And what if he gets a concussion? How does he bounce back from his first concussion? Is he going to be protected enough to where he's not getting hit all the time? All those things are really important.
So there's another big thing, Nick, and Texans fans can relate to this. The other thing that you want to avoid when you've spent a valuable first-round pick, and in the case of the Niners, multiples to get where you needed to go, the last thing you can afford to do is get the crap beat out of them to where that they are damaged like David Carr for life.
Yeah, that would be my fear. So I feel like, I don't know if his teammates are going to be like, well, we got to really protect this guy because he has a seizure. I don't think they're thinking like that. But I think it's that first concussion, I think, is going to be very, very interesting to me. I hope he turns out to be great. And I hope he does fit that offense. I know you don't want him to do well because he's playing for the Bears, but I'd like to see him do something.
I think he's hyper-talented. I think that he got a raw deal by a lot of rumors that were out there. But I think he's in the perfect situation to prove everybody wrong because he's going to get the chance to play. He's going to have a defense behind him that's going to keep them in games and really make them competitive when he does get to play. And I think that he has enough skill, his talents, the running the football as well as throwing the football, and his toughness, which we saw during the semifinal game. I think all those things, he's in the best situation for him to excel, so I give them credit. All right, we'll continue to roll on. That's a half hour of the show. We still got 2.5 to go. Lots more to get to as we continue to roll on, and that includes you. 713-780-3776 is our HR&P listener line for calls and texts. Otherwise, hit us up on Twitch, as we're already interacting, and Twitter, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. That's how we get you find us individually. Together with the Press Box, ESPN.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Fun sports. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Back on the box, talking a little NFL draft in the last segment. As the draft continues tonight, Texans will make their first pick in the third round, as it'll be so Texan-y if they trade down. And just, but I think I don't blame Caserio if he does, because I think they got to just try and get as many picks as possible to just try and add some depth back to this roster.
They're very limited as to what they can do. I mean, I might tune in for the 60 seconds for the announcement and leave, but to me, the first round is the most interesting. And if your local team is in the first round, that makes it interesting. Unfortunately for the Texans, it's not the case. But look, I've said this a million times. I feel like Nick Caserio, just give him some time. I feel like he's a smart dude.
I like him. I believe in him, too.
I feel like he's educated. I feel like he can do everything. So give the dude some time, and hopefully it's not like the Bill O'Brien situation.
Okay? I'm fine with you hammering Cal. I'm fine with you hammering Easterby. I'm fine with you not believing in Culley. But I'm not fine with drawing conclusions on a guy that spent the majority of his professional career with the best football coach in the history of the NFL that also handled the personnel. And I think that he's learned enough, and basically in a short window of time, and I say this, I have people inside that will back me 150% on this. They were in cap hell all offseason, and they're still not in a great position. They're still in a really tough spot. But they've gotten out of a lot of it because of Nick Caserio and because of short, inexpensive deals with veteran players that actually might make them better than a year ago without having to break the bank to do that and give up picks and other things like overpay like Bill O'Brien had done over and over again. So I'm with you 150%. I believe in Nick Caserio, and I believe that he deserves to have a fair shot at turning this thing around. And so far, what he's shown me is I'm believing in a guy that is worthy of my beliefs.
Yeah, and I think he's not done yet. I think you need to give him a little bit more time. Yep. Mm-hmm. I think he's very.
And money.
I think he's very, like, he focus. He seems like a guy that likes to be very thorough about what he does. He seems like a guy that's very detail oriented. So I hope he does well. I don't care if you don't get a big splash today, because I don't expect one. If you're a Texans fan and you're expecting some exciting name, I mean, you're sadly mistaken. And if you are excited about the player that they get, great. But don't expect a massive name. Don't expect something that is going to make this team significantly better. Because if it does, it was probably a diamond in the rough. Like, no one would have known. You know what I mean?
I think in terms of wins and losses and everything that happened. Again, I'm going to give credit to a lot of teams that I hate, but I give the Cowboys credit.
Yeah.
The Cowboys not only made a trade within their own division, allowing the Eagles to move up to draft Heisman Trophy winner Devontae Smith, but they got multiple picks in return, and they got, in my opinion, the best defensive player in the draft. So the fact that they got Micah Parsons, and which is a really neat story if you didn't hear it along the way, and especially if you didn't have volume where you were watching it. But what was cool was, because you could, when they showed him in the draft room, he was pissed that he hadn't been taken yet.
Really?
And then all of a sudden, it's just his whole family erupted. And when he got out there in the interview, he said, if you don't think God exists and God is good, he goes, my parents are lifelong Cowboys fans. My dad was saying I was going to end up being with the Cowboys. And I was like, based on where they're picking and everything else, no way, especially when they traded back. And now here I am going to Dallas.
Man, and they said great things about him at Penn State, and I believe he holds the record for most tackles as a freshman in that school's history. So
he is athletic and strong.
He's a baller.
And, woo! He's
so
good.
So I could see how he has a chip on his shoulder, and you know what? Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that he's angry, and you know, he wants to prove himself. Now he's a Cowboy, and hey, he can probably make a name for himself if he really wants to. But three defensive players were picked, I believe, within the first 12 or 17. Was it the first 12 or 17 draft picks? Three defensive players were already picked up. So, yeah, I like the safe pick. I probably my biggest issue would probably be with the Broncos, like you mentioned. I believe in drafting quarterbacks, man. It's not as painful when you draft a quarterback that doesn't pan out. Man, if it
we've just seen how many times. Try. And Elway did a short version, like a Cliff Notes version of musical quarterbacks. But when you talk about the Browns, forever and a day until they found Baker. When you talk about the Bears and all the quarterbacks through all the years that they continue to mow through and the mediocrity because of it. When you talk about the Texans, a short window of Matt Schaub taken out of the equation. Everything else has been hell until you got to Deshaun. So it's an essential position. And I think that if something like that happens where it presents itself an opportunity right in your lap, what's wrong with having Drew Lock along with Justin Fields in your quarterback room and figuring out either way, we get the best of both worlds. And then the other guy, someone's probably still going to take a flyer on where you could move him.
Yeah, I mean, to me, like, I'm all for drafting quarterbacks. Like, even in the Matt Ryan situation, I love Kyle Pitts, but a guy that's near the end of his age, I don't blame. Like, I don't necessarily hate the Green Bay Packers for drafting a quarterback. They look bad because
oh, I do.
Aaron Rodgers played his ass off. But you have to understand, there's still an age factor. And most people don't know when that big drop-off is going to happen. Most people can't predict that. So, Kyle, what did you think about Kyle? I mean, they signed Matt Ryan, which basically secures him there for another 2 years. You think he can mesh well with Kyle Pitts pretty soon, like right off the top? Or do you think he's going to need some development? Because if he does, then he's not going to pan out that quickly, even with Matt Ryan.
So here's where I am on that. They've spent some picks in the last couple of years, including Calvin Ridley of Alabama, on young receivers. Ryan's still going to be there. Julio Jones looks like he doesn't want to be there. And now you add Kyle Pitts. You have Hayden Hurst, who was a better-than-serviceable tight end. I think that it's in their best interest to try and move Julio Jones off the books because I think he could be a negative influence on some of these young receivers. But I think that they have bigger fish to fry in terms of they signed Mike Davis as a running back. They got Cordarrelle Patterson, who's kind of a jack-of-all-trades guy, receiver, returner, slash running back from time to time. But I don't see them competing for a Super Bowl, even with Matt Ryan, like you said, being there for two more years. But I think that because it could be a negative influence on the younger guys, I'd move Julio Jones. And by doing so, I would hope to get money off the books so I could get some extra help where I needed it, which is defensively.
Yeah.
And go from there.
Yeah.
But I was surprised they didn't move down and get more picks. And really, while they're still at least competitive with Matt Ryan, planning for the future.
And you make a really good point about Julio Jones, the fact that he was essentially the man there for so long in terms of being a weapon on offense. You're right, man. If this Kyle Pitts guy turns out, you know, he probably wants to be still deemed the man in the event that the Atlanta Falcons don't move him. I imagine you can move a guy like Julio Jones. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people that will take a gamble. And I don't know if you even want to know if you want to even call it a gamble. But yeah, I mean, I think, and that's what they were saying. They're like, look, Kyle Pitts is a guy that could potentially fill the void or at least help fill the void in the event they have to deal with the sting of losing Julio Jones. So maybe that's the case. And I bring up Lance's point again. He's like, they're pass catchers. There's pass catchers. And there's times where the tight end could be one of the leading option, even though he's a tight end and he's not a wide receiver.
Because he has receiver skills and speed, you can separate him and put him on the edge.
Yeah.
If you get the right matchup with him on the edge, he can take full advantage and he can do a lot of the things that, because Julio Jones is such a big-bodied receiver
right.
that he could do. And look, I saw them play the Packers when they were out of it. He had the biggest 32-ounce cup of I don't care and didn't want to play and didn't want to be out there because they didn't have a chance to make the playoffs and he knew that was a meaningless game. And that's what the Falcons don't need right now as they try and rebuild on the fly. So much so that if there are teams that were interested in Matt Ryan, I'm listening. Yeah. I'm listening, and I don't care if I get a whole lot back in return because I have to admit to myself with all these young players like Ridley, like Pitts, like the guys I'm trying to put together, that we're not Super Bowl contenders.
Yeah. And that's why I thought the two-year thing was interesting. I like Matt Ryan as a quarterback. I'm not hating on him, but I'm always pro drafting the quarterback. Even when the Texans drafted Jadeveon Clowney as the number one pick, I was saying they should draft a quarterback, not Jadeveon Clowney. I really did. I really did say that. And Jadeveon Clowney did prove to have a couple years here and there.
I was very much pro Reggie Bush when they drafted Mario Williams.
Oh, yeah.
I was a big Reggie Bush guy. I mean, the Heisman Trophy winner, exciting as all.
And Mario Williams wasn't a bad player.
I just didn't see him as number one overall pick, but he had good years here. He actually panned out better than a lot of people thought.
100%.
All right. Before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people. Speaking of breaks, at New Breaks, that's nubreaks.com. Here's the thing. From a convenience standpoint to everything that went on with the pandemic, a lot of people were going to curbside for grocery shopping, or so they didn't have to go in the store. Why don't you do the same thing with your breaks? It's a phenomenal idea. It's a great concept. And here's all the details that you don't know. New Breaks only deals in brakes. So they're not going to try and upsell you on other engine repair work and things that they're going to tell you is needed to be done on your engine. They have competitive prices with all the brake shops in town. But instead of having to go to a waiting room and sit on uncomfortable furniture and watch TV on a channel you didn't pick and drink cold coffee and vending machine food, why not let them come to you, do what they do, while you do other things? They'll go to your job and do it in your parking garage while you're working so that you can save time. They'll let you multitask and maybe cut the lawn or sit on your couch with a beer and watch games or do other things around the house while they do the work in your driveway or in your garage. You mentioned ESPN and ESPN Radio, save 10% right off the top. But here's the key. They do quality work just like the technicians. Their technicians are certified, and their price is competitive. So instead of going to a brake shop, why would you not want them to come to you? They'll do it, and they do what they do on a daily basis. Check them out today. It's newbrakes.com, nubrakes.com. Tell them ESPN Radio sent you by.
Loaded Rain Rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Absolutely. Back on the box, first hour of the program as we continue to talk. Let's be clear, people. And Nick, this is why, and I won't use voices because some of you get sensitive, all right? But if you want to be correcting us, then get your facts straight. I said I didn't want the Texans to take Mario Williams. You can debate it all you want, and we can talk about it. But I said I personally wanted them to take Reggie Bush because he was the Heisman Trophy winner. He was extremely exciting, a dynamic offensive player that could catch and run and be out in open spaces. And that's who I wanted them to take. I never once said Mario was or wasn't the best player in that draft.
I mean, if it's that much of a dispute, just wait for the podcast to be published. I'm pretty sure you'll hear what Joel really said. So,
and so let me be very clear. That's why I wanted the Texans to take Reggie Bush. And that was my own personal preference. In terms of the draft itself, everybody wants to take the shots at me thinking they're going to get under my skin about, no, the Broncos didn't take a quarterback because they're going to trade for Aaron Rodgers. Well, if they do, so be it. If you heard, and we have the quotes that we will get to from Packers GM Brian Gutekunst, they're not trading Aaron Rodgers. And he believes he's going to, they're working on it, and they're going to work it out. Look, Aaron Rodgers, less than a couple months ago, said he wanted to play. He said, it's the beautiful mystery. I want to play the rest of my career in Green Bay, and I want to finish my career here and play with only one team. On the Pat McAfee show, we said this yesterday and on other shows. He never once said he wanted out. He's not happy with people in the front office. He's not happy the way he's... And he has every damn right to be unhappy. Because as we talked about from Deshaun's perspective, when he thought he should be involved in the head coach and general manager search, when I told you about all my experiences with the Rockets, when it was Akeem Olajuwon and Clyde and Barkley, my big thing is, you don't treat everybody the same in a professional sports setting.
No.
And if you're Aaron Rodgers and you've given this franchise 15 phenomenal years and you are the main reason why they are competitive every year, you owe it to him to pick up the phone and go, bro, here's the deal. We're not trying to replace you, but we're trying to plan for the future. You can stay as long as you want, but we want to let you know we are going to take a quarterback in the first round. We may even move up to get him, but it in no way, shape, or form means we're trying to move on from you. That's all you had to do, and you didn't do it. I talked to all my friends back home last night in Milwaukee and Green Bay and in Wisconsin, And they all said the same thing. The organization in the front office got so big for their britches that they just decided Aaron's not going to tell us what to do. We can do whatever the hell we want. Well, that's backfiring now, and you look awful.
It is. It is. And look, I guess I could see it. It's more justifiable for a quarterback like Matt Ryan, I guess, as opposed to Aaron Rodgers. I will say that. So, but even if you do be honest, I feel like if you're honest with the quarterback and you say, look, we're not moving on from you, but we're just, you know, we're keeping our options open. If you go down that road, it still creates a quarterback controversy. The guy will never accept it as an answer, especially when he's as talented as Aaron Rodgers. And even when they're not talented, when they feel like there's any remote chance of them either being demoted or being replaced, they react that way. I don't feel like being honest and transparent in a situation will always work depending on the quarterback that they're telling. You know what I mean? Like you're telling me right now, if the Atlanta Falcons went up to Matt Ryan right now, and I don't really know Matt Ryan to be a diva. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. But you're telling me if they went up to him and said, you know what? Look, you're still our guy, but we're drafting a quarterback. Matt Ryan is not going to feel some type of way. I don't think it's going to work. I don't think it's going to work. And look, Justin Fields, they're talking about there's a lot of Falcons fans that wanted to draft a quarterback and they were mad.
Yeah, they wanted Justin Fields, yep.
And let's not forget, didn't he have a quarterback controversy at the college level? Did he handle that little quarterback competition?
He left Georgia to play for Ohio State because okay. He got beat out.
So you want to go and bring that over there? You really want to go bring that to Matt Ryan right now and you think he's going to be absolutely okay with it? I don't think he will. I don't think he will. You're talking about a Justin Fields who already had quarterback controversies from the college level. And now you're bringing in this guy.
Well, and Matt Ryan hasn't done what Aaron Rodgers did for his franchise, but at the same time, Matt Ryan at least deserves the same kind of respect,
sure.
Right? As a veteran that's been, you know, a highly rewarded and respected quarterback in the league. You know, I look at all of this, and OG's going on another rant on Twitch saying that Aaron Rodgers is arrogant and he's greedy, and, you know, and that here's what you don't know. The issue at hand with the Packers front office guys being what I mentioned when I said also too big for their britches, Aaron Rodgers has no residual cap hit for the Packers after this next season. And the Packers weren't willing to restructure and add years to his contract. That's the stupidity of the Green Bay Packers. That's what I'm talking about. Aaron Rodgers, if the team was willing to give him multiple extra years added onto his contract, he was willing to help the team. That's the issue. Because Aaron wants to be able to have the money to add those players. That's what I'm talking about from Mark Murphy, the president, to Brian Gutekunst, the GM, and even maybe Matt LaFleur, the head coach. That's where the disconnect is happening. Because there were five other players that got the Packers out of cap hell by restructuring their deals. That's why everybody was saying, why didn't Aaron do it yet? It takes two to tango. Now suddenly the Packers, to make it right, are trying to throw multiple years and extensions at Aaron Rodgers. As we know, Aaron holds grudges, and he gets upset, and he doesn't forget. So now he's the one that's standoffish on being with the Packers or signing an extension or doing anything else. Though the Packers aren't with a cap hit, he's under contract through 2023. So they still have that contract that they hold.
Well, I tend to agree with OG from H-Town. I think Aaron is just a arrogant little a-hole. That's all. That's what I think. I'm just kidding. You want to get this call about the Falcons? Joel, you want to be Joe, not Joel. Joe is on the press box, wants to talk a little
bit
about the Atlanta Falcons. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
How you doing?
I was calling. I'm 31 now. I've been a lifelong Falcons fan since I was 8 years old at Jamal Anderson and Patrick Kearney days. And for the life of me, I watch Matt Ryan. First of all, I don't understand why people say that he's a top quarterback or he's elite. Maybe because he passes for a lot of yards. Well, he passes for a lot of yards because we're behind most of the time. We're getting blown out. You can cut on the film. Anytime that we're in a game, I think it was we played the Vikings last year, and Matt Ryan threw a crunch-time interception like he does most of the time. Kirk Cousins came back and threw another interception. And we had a chance to go down and win the game by a field goal. And Matt Ryan comes back and throws another interception. Anytime we have a chance, he turns second downs into long third downs by curling up because he's scared when you see a defensive player come free instead of just sitting in the pocket for a little longer. And I can't just understand what Arthur Blank, the new GM, the new coach, sees that they want to keep this guy around. Like, blow so many games. He blew the Super Bowl.
Joe, and Kyle Shanahan's had some. Look, Kyle Shanahan's play calling had something to do with the Super Bowl, as genius as he's been. But let me ask you this. Do you want, if you want to move on from Matt Ryan, do you see any reason to keep Julio Jones?
Yeah, but, I mean, when it matters, Matt Ryan isn't clutch.
I'm fine and with that. I'm asking you as a Falcons fan, do you want to keep Julio Jones? That's what I'm asking you. Are you okay with them taking Pitts and not trading back for more picks? And do you want to keep Julio Jones? That's what I'm asking you as a Falcons fan.
I wish they would have traded back for more picks. I feel like a tight end, they just went out last year and got Hayden Hurst. I mean, I feel like you could have traded back. Your offensive line is trash. I mean, they trash. They wasted two draft picks a couple of years ago, two trash first-round offensive linemen. And I just I wish they would have traded back. And as far as the Julio Jones thing, I feel like they should move on from it while he still has value because he's not getting any younger. Every year he pops up on the injury report with a hamstring. Yeah, he goes ahead and plays, but like you said, when we're out of contention,
yep,
he doesn't care. We played the Cowboys last year, and he was wide open and dropped a pass in the end zone. I mean, it's getting to the point where he's kind of over his peak, so I wish they would have traded him to get, like you say, younger in every aspect and traded back to try to fix the offensive line. And I really disagree with the Kyle Pitts at all, because if you wanted to do something, you should have put Surtain. You have no corner.
Yeah. Joe, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for the insight. Look, here's the other thing, Nick. When we worked with a different station in town and they had a suite, I sat in the end zone where you can see plays develop and stuff. Matt Ryan does not like to get hit, and he's a different quarterback when he feels pressure.
Oh, you saw that video where he got terrified with that player coming at him, and he smiled after because he knew he was glad he dodged that hit. Oh, that's not a secret.
Yeah,
that is not
a
secret.
So, look, I know he's gotten accolades. I'm not saying he's like a Hall of Fame all time, but
I do tend to agree. I'm just being honest. I would have drafted a quarterback. I wouldn't have cared.
I'm with you.
I wouldn't have cared.
But the first thing I said was I would have traded back too. So, all right, that's one in the books. That means still 2 hours of the show to go. Lots more opportunities for you guys to be a part of it as we continue to talk about everything. Football with the draft, second and third rounds tonight. Astros back at it in Tampa to take on the Rays this evening. Rockets got a big win last night. You okay with that? At least KPJ went for 50. It's the second hour of the Press Box. It's coming up next. It's ESPN.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.